1027 WNEW FM, 1964.
It's been a hard day and night.
1970, 1979, 1987. From rock classics to the cutting edge, this is the place where rock lives. 1027 WNEW FM in New York.
Forgot about that one. So here we are in anniversary time, 20th, and let me assure you, it doesn't seem like 20 years, but that's because it has been fast, real fast, because that's what rock is all about. And all the people who make the music and the people here who make up WNEWFM have made it real swift for me. I mean, I don't believe it, but anyway, I remember December 18th. Because it was 1967, of course, 20 years ago. And I said, well, you know what you should do to start your show off, Scott, since it's you're at a new location, a new station. I'd come over from WOR-FM, which really began the experiment, the grand FM experiment of a choice in music, a variety in music, and not strict guidelines, that sort of thing. So we're all over the ballpark, and they sort of foundered, got the ball past the 20, up to the 30, 35, or 40-yard line, and then quit, and WNEW-FM picked it up and carried it over for the touchdown. So I said, let me do something safe to start my first show at WNEW-FM.
So fine, do the bumps of dime in your prime. Then you, people call, say beware doll, you're bound to fall. You thought they were all kidding you. You used to laugh about everybody that was hanging out. So loud. Now you don't seem so proud about having to be scrounging. You
So I figured that was a safe enough artist, Dylan, and song to start the show off in 1967, and that I did. It was a Monday, December 18th, and it was also the WNEW AM and FM Christmas party that night when I got off the air. Now, I only know the two people who actually hired me and a couple of the people who were on the air I'd met, but as far as other people, I mean, I knew no one when I went to the Christmas party. And that was 20 Christmas parties ago. A strange way to start the first day. Dave Herman, my special guest at the moment. Dave was not at the station at the time. And in 67 and December 18th, Dave, do you remember where you were?
Sure. December 18th, 1967, I was working at a small radio station in Asbury Park, New Jersey. WHTG, right. Station that is kind of a progressive... progressive is the name for it. They're a new wave kind of rock, kind of music station now. Really? But back then was kind of a Muzak kind of station. Played a lot of Mantovani and stuff. Yeah. And I was just kind of, you know, breaking my chops in trying to get into this crazy business and working it out there. And heard WNEW-FM go on the air. Heard, not the first night, but within that first week or so, tune, I said, what is this? What is this station? I said, this is fabulous. And because I listened to that so much, got it in my head that that's the kind of radio I want to do. And by April of 69, got out of Asbury Park and went to work for WMMR, which was owned by the same people who owned, still is owned by the same people who own WNEW-FM, and got into rock and roll radio.
As the Marconi Experiment.
That's right. But my
it still
first,
is.
But I wanted to remind people who are listening, the first thing I heard, you opened the show and you played Like a Rolling Stone. I heard Dylan. And I said, oh, this is great that he's opening with that, because I think that most people identify Scott Muni, if you have to like nail him with one little heading right away, with British rock, Things from England Every Friday. And you have been a supporter of British rock and roll even before WNEW-FM existed.
Right.
But my earliest recollections of you and you on WNEW-FM is not British rock and roll, but the singer-songwriters, what you used to call the poets.
Right. I did an hour of them all the time.
All the time. And while everybody else was playing groups, rock and roll groups, what's happening with the Buffalo Springfield and Country Joe and the Fish, and you did all that too, of course, but you always made it a real point to show the great poets that were writing and the individual artists and the singer-songwriters. And that's my earliest recollections of Scott Muni on WNEW-FM.
Dave Herman, you know that is true. You know, you're bringing out something that I cannot deny. I still feel that way. I still think that when someone comes along new, they might have a sound. That's true, a really good, exciting new sound. Or they might be saying something. Or they might be doing both. I remember. I suppose probably here's a good example. I suppose probably in 1967, this would be a prime example. You are right, and you got me cornered, and you got a good song up here to point it out, because when someone has something to say, when it's said this way, you know, it's still here.
And the first
kids
time
in school sing it, and I mean in grammar school, the Glee Club members to be
now do this tune.
Do this song.
First time I ever heard it was on your show on WNEW-FM shortly after you went on the air.
Rose and flows of angel hair and ice cream castles in the everywhere. I've looked at clouds that weep, but now they only block the sun. They rain and snow on everyone. So many things I would have done, but clouds got in my way. I've looked at clouds from both sides now, and up and down.
starlight, and her hair hung long. The last time she spoke to me, her lips were like the scented flowers inside a rain-drenched forest. And she walked alone. The last time she kissed my cheek, her lips were like the wilted leaves upon the autumn-covered hills, resting on the frozen ground. The seeds of love lie cold and still beneath a battered marking stone. It lies forgotten.
Two examples, Dave, of poets, Gordon Lightfoot and Joni Mitchell, who wrote a bunch of things, so did Lightfoot, and they're just two examples. But you know, the poet thing, you were right. I mean,
that's my earliest memories of listening to Scott Muni on WNEW-FM, always getting a good dose every afternoon of the singer-songwriters, the poets, like Lightfoot and like Joni Mitchell, and a long list of that. So it isn't only British rock that you were very focused on. It was the singer-songwriters and the poets as well.
I remember one time Gordon Lightfoot had done our Christmas concert for us over at Avery Fisher Hall. And that year we had two concerts because we had two artists. We had Peter Allen on one night and we had Gordon Lightfoot at another time. And I was thinking about Gordon Lightfoot and I was on the way to the studio and it was snowing. And I passed... Boy, I got that instant recall of his Home from the Forest, which is a Canadian, Gordon Lightfoot, and so's Joni, as a matter of fact,
mm-hmm.
but wrote that Home from the Forest about the alcoholic and our bums, quote-unquote, our street people, and did it in less than 3 minutes and better than a New Yorker could have done it. But as I was on the way to the station, a guy stopped, and he had his bottle of wine, and he was really out of it, and it was snowing and everything, and he said, if you give me a cigarette, I'll give you a drink. You know, so I gave him a couple of cigarettes, and he held the bottle out to me, and I said, no, pass. That's Thunderbird or whatever it was. And then I came right back to the station, and I told the story, and I started the show off with Home from the Forest, you know, because it's, you know, here we had a Canadian get a better picture, because we just passed those people by, you know, it's part of New York.
And
now it's in the news.
To bring it full circle to 1987, here's something Gordon Lightfoot did. We're talking... 10 years ago, maybe.
Yeah.
At least that, I think.
Yeah.
Certainly in the forefront of making people aware that they were homeless in the streets of New York, and he wasn't, like you say, a New Yorker.
And before we saw all of that graffiti, which now is everywhere, Paul Simon wrote the poem on the underground wall with a four-letter word, which mm-hmm. we're not allowed to do. And you thought, wow. And it was about a minute and 45 seconds, and there's that driving drum beat and everything, and just a staccato. Now, graffiti is... It's another part of New York. My guest is Dave Herman, and we're going to have our 20th anniversary continue just moments away at WNEW-FM in New York.
It's a date bug.
Hello there, Scott Muni. 20th anniversary time. Damn. You know, that's a... I guess there's some kind of record involved here for rock.
Well, I don't know. For rock, I've been trying to think. I'm sitting here, I'm trying to think if there's anybody... Well, maybe John Gambling. I'm trying to think of... people that might be on the same radio station anywhere in broadcasting in the United
William
States
B.
of America.
William
no, no, no.
B. Williams.
Still alive and still working.
Oh.
I mean, today at the same station.
Well, this
for 20
John
years.
Gambling is still alive. The other John, there's been the three.
Yeah.
So that's a whole
I'm not even sure that qualifies. You might be the only one.
Rock. Well, I tell you what. You know, when you get hooked, you get hooked. And I know, long before Dylan said it, I had this thing in my mind about rocking out someday, you know, that it's supposed to happen at a certain time or, you know, all of a sudden. I have a hard time wearing a tie, but, I mean, I picture myself wearing ties and wingtip shoes or something, just, you know, being somebody else because, you know, you're supposed to do that somewhere. You're supposed to be someone different. You're supposed to grow up or whatever that is, mature. And I always thought I was going to rock out, and it hasn't happened. As a matter of fact, it's gotten worse, and I've seen doctors about it, you know.
Oh, you remind me. Now, you just reminded me of something. Scott used to follow me when I was doing middays. I'd get off the air, too, and Scott would get on the air, too. And this was about 3 or 4 years ago. I don't know who it was, but there was somebody, another organization, another broadcasting organization, really after this man, making him offer, and every day raising the ante and raising the ante. Didn't have to do with rock and roll. I'm not sure exactly what it was, but they were making enormous, a tremendously tempting offer to Scott. They wanted him really bad. It was going on for a few weeks. And every day he would come in grumbling more and more when I'd see him at 2 o'clock. Because I would lunch with these guys and they'd up the ante. And then one day, and this is the point of the story, he turned to me. He was already at the board and I was on this ready to leave the studio. And he said, they upped the ante even more today, but he said, I'm cursed. He said, I am cursed. I said, what do you mean you're cursed? He said, and he points to the records on the turntable here at WNEW-FM, and he said to me, I love this stuff. I don't know. And he had it turned down, obviously something that would have paid him a tremendous amount more than he was making here. You remember that day? He said, I love this stuff. I'm cursed. I'm hooked on it. I don't know how I could ever get through a day if I couldn't get on the radio and play some of this rock and roll.
It is. That's true. As a matter of fact, it's happened a couple of times. And I guess, everybody has to, somewhere along the line, money. You know, comes into things, you know, and you
sure
think, wow, if I had all this money, what would I do with all that money? Because they're talking about this. And, you know, part of moving along in life is increasing the stipend each week, you know, or doing something to get yourself a little comfortable and not, you know, the bills come in and, well, we're going to have them wait, you know, so whatever that is. We all know about that. But, yeah, I wonder what would have happened. You know what? Just this past summer, you know, I was doing my show in London, The Week Live in London, and it coincided with the 20th anniversary of Sgt. Pepper. Sgt. Pepper was that, you know, that incredible thing that happened. The Beatles had happened. I mean, the Beatles were and everything. And then along comes this album 20 years ago, right? When I was, you know, starting here at NEWFM, I was familiar with it before from ORFM and all that. We were having this birthday party for Sgt. Pepper, but radio people were not allowed there, except I got to, McCartney was in charge of this party, and George Martin, and of course it was at Abbey Road Studio, so all the television people were there. They were covering from around the world, from Holland, from France, from Germany, Italy, Japan, and all these television people were doing their assigned job from their particular company. None of them really knew the Beatles. You know, they knew McCartney was one of the Beatles, but they weren't really Beatle fans, so I kind of got a little upset. But at one time, now the cover of People magazine here showed Paul and Linda cutting this massive cake, which mm-hmm. was the drum in Sgt. Pepper. It was a gorgeous cake. And one guy, and the country won't go, I'm not even going to mention the country, kept bugging Paul to say, okay, eat the cake, eat the cake. And then with his accent, he was saying, eat the cake, eat, take a bite, eat the cake, eat. Gimme, you eat the cake. Gimme, I said, leaned back into Paul. And my picture is right behind McCartney and Linda
right
in the People magazine thing. And I said, do it. I dare you. Do it. And he took this massive piece of cake and whacked this guy right in a kisser with it. And it was just great.
sang out of tune, would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song, and I'll try not to sing out of key. Oh, I get by with a little help from my friends. I get high with a little help from my friends. Yes, I get by with a little help from my friends. With a little help from my friends.
Sergeant Pepper in 1967, and December 18th, this day, 20 years ago, on the air, I went for NEWFM, coming over from ORFM. Dave Herman wasn't here yet, but he's here now. So I guess, Dave, you know what was interesting then? There wasn't a lot of product available. There wasn't a lot of music right. available because, I mean, the explosion, the Beatles thing and them happening, the encouragement was there, and people were in their garages and their basements practicing and recording and all that, but... And people were writing, certainly, and all that. But there was so much diversity in the music that in the course of your show, you know what I mean? You could.
Well, if you think about the, December 1967, and forgive me if my memory gets a little hazy on this, though. There was one Doors album, maybe two.
Yeah, right.
One Jefferson Airplane album, maybe the Jefferson Airplane Takes Off. Two Jefferson Airplane albums.
The Monkees?
You know, there were
98.7. There was a bunch of singles, and then there was the people mm-hmm. carrying over from before. But albums and superstar artists, no,
very few. The record library must have been maybe, I don't know, 150 to 250 albums somewhere in there.
Yeah,
back
and
then.
And there were mainly singles, and there were a lot of different things happening, and whether so each time you'd get on the air, you'd have a little touch of. Country rock, some folk music, some rock, some Who, or somebody else had come along there, you know. And of course, Beatles, Stones, and some other stuff, and then somebody out of here and somebody out of there. But you're right, there was not a lot of music, but what a crazy magic blend, because it's the forerunner of what so many radio stations are doing now. Here's, while Dave Herman is my guest, here's an example of a huge hit while we were on the air that was... Not out of place, it was just different.
Would you like to ride?